Hi, this is Aunt Angela Webb, the Animal Intuitive, and this is the Animal Intuitive Show, where we give animals a voice through weekly shows about animal communication, natural pet care, and interviews with experts in the fields of animal care and advocacy. And I'm really excited tonight because I have with me a special guest. This is Chris joining us from Street Dogs. So Chris, why don't you introduce yourself to everybody here and just let them know a little bit about yourself.
Hi there. I am Chris. I am the volunteer coordinator with Street Dogs. I have been volunteering with the group for about 2.5 years. I also work with distribution and what we're going to talk a little bit about later with delivery of dog food and cat food with the group.
Excellent. So this is an amazing organization. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about just the background, how it got started, and what it is, what Street Dogs is.
Absolutely. First of all, thank you so much for having us on as well. Street Dogs was started in 2014 by our founder, Cheryl. She had a bag of dog food that was left over at her office, and they told her she could have it and do with it as she needed. And she worked in downtown Las Vegas, and there's a large homeless population. And she happened to see a person who had a pet. And she asked them if they needed the bag of dog food. And they were so appreciative of that bag of dog food. And at that point, she realized that we provide a lot of assistance in social services for the people, but not so much for the pets. So that's basically how it started, with a bag of dog food. And it has turned into an enormous organization that goes through about 6,000 pounds of dog food a month and over 1,500 pounds of cat food. That's just the dry food, not the wet food, not the pools. Wow. We give out a lot of different items, cooling items in the summer, things to keep the pet warm in winter. And now it's grown from her and her family doing it to now we have about 30 volunteers that help to get the things out.
Okay, so that is a lot of food and a lot of items. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about how the organization, how you do all this. How do you get funding? How do you keep this going?
Honestly, our Las Vegas community is a huge component of this. We have never had to purchase dog or cat food. It has always been donated. We have a clubhouse where people can drop off donations. They would have to contact us on social media to get the address and information. But the community as a whole is wonderful. We've had different groups. For example, Bombas Socks has donated socks for us to give out to the human component. We had one of our team members, she works on writing grants, so we've received several grants through different groups like Maddie's and different items to pay for our spay and neuter and to help for medical, because we also, in the summer for our homeless pets and in the winter when it's very cold, offer day boarding if we've known the pet and we want to get them out of the extreme heat and we want to get them warm. So we've used money and funds for that. We do a lot with Facebook fundraising and then through our PayPal with our website. So that's kind of the funding part. It does cost a lot to keep it going. Mm-hmm. I asked our founder, and she said it's about $5,000 a month because we do have vet bills that come up because we try, if we have the funding, to help with anything vet-related that we can. Again, it all goes back to funding. There are times we have to say no because we don't have funding and we try to give them another source. There are certain dogs that we have that have prescription dog foods that we do actually have to pay for because you have to have a prescription for it, obviously. Right. And it can get costly, and we work through Google. All of us kind of communicate. We have team meetings to keep everybody abreast on what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's a lot. So, and I'm sure people, and it's for these little fur balls, these guys, and some are cats too, right? But we have some stories about some animals that have been helped by Street Dogs, and we were going to talk about them. I am trying to get your comments. I'm not 100% those are working, but please post if you have any questions or comments. You know, please feel free to put those, and we will try to get to those. Hopefully, our technology will help with us. Will help that help us with that tonight. So let's talk about this guy, Max. Let's start with Max. He's up on the screen.
So Max is actually, sorry about that. Max is actually a duo. Max is, he has a sibling, Sunny, as well. Just happens to not be in that little cart. His owners are homeless. They are an older couple, and we have been working and helping them for a little bit over 2 years. They are phenomenal pet owners. They are like many of our clients where they get some income, but it's not enough to pay for housing with the cost of housing currently, and it's not enough to be able to feed their pet. And with our mission being that we want no pet to be surrendered due to a lack of resources on their owner's part, that's where we step in. So we provide them in the summer with boots, in the winter with jackets, anything that we can. And we also try to help with anything on the human side that we can. So if we happen to have human food, we take that primarily to our homeless people, because we do often get some donations of that as well. And his owners are fabulous. As you can see in the cart, there's a little bag of ice.
Yeah.
And that he puts that under there so that he stays cool in that warm Vegas weather.
That's incredible. That's great. So, and I'm so sorry that I didn't have the other picture up there. I missed that. But so tell us a little bit about Tyson.
All right, Tyson. Oh, he's such a love. Tyson's owners, again, are a homeless couple. They have gone through some medical issues, and we, again, have helped Tyson. We provide his food. We've given them tents to stay in, and they have actually been part of our what's called off the streets, which at the holiday time, we take families that are homeless, and we provide them a week off of the street in a weekly here in Las Vegas. Again, it's all fundraised and donations through the community. We provide them with a holiday meal. We provide their dog with like little gifts and toys. And Tyson has had some medical issues, so we've actually helped to pay for that as well. His ear has had some infections and different items happen there. We always make sure that especially the bigger dogs have the harnesses because they're better to control that way, especially if they're homeless. So we always make sure we have extra large harnesses for our pits that are homeless.
Oh, okay.
But he's a great dog.
Oh, incredible. And then tell us about Ivy.
Ivy is, she's my heart. I won't lie. sorry, I'm like a teary.
Oh,
so
she's beautiful.
We got Ivy about 2.5 years ago. She was dumped at a homeless camp in the city, and someone called our founder and was begging her to come out to bring food to this very emaciated dog. And it was 8 o'clock at night, and she went out there, and she said herself she just cried because this dog was so thin. Mm. We ended up taking her in. She spent over 6 weeks in a local veterinarian clinic. But now she has been adopted, and we still get to see Ivy. She is the loveliest dog. She had puppies over and over again. We made sure she got spayed, paid for all that, got all her medical covered. And for a dog who went through such a traumatic experience of having been so thin, I mean, you could just see her rib cage, and it was very sad. She has the best attitude. She loves everyone. She loves little dogs. I think that probably goes back to her having had puppies.
Yeah.
But she just lights up a room. She smiles. But she, too, has had some medical issues even after the fact. And we've made sure that those are covered as well so that her owner doesn't have to incur that.
Yeah. So I'm just thinking, you know, this must be such an amazing, incredible relief for the people who love these animals. Do you know, what do they tell you when you're able to help them? What do they say? It must be so inspiring.
They're just so appreciative. A lot of them, some of them, they're foregoing them eating so that their pet can eat. So for them to know that there's a resource available for them that they can get as long as their pet is spayed or neutered, and again, if they can't afford it, we will pay for that. And if they're homeless, We will often get them a hotel room for a few days too for that pet so that it can recover, where you don't have to worry about it getting infection or any sort of issues with the spay and neuter. But they're so appreciative. And a lot of them just cry because it's a relief.
Yeah, I'm sure. Incredible. And what's it like for all of you as volunteers to be doing this work?
Honestly, it's so rewarding. You really start to appreciate how good your life is. And you see, too, that the connection between these people and their pets. Like, many of those people, the reason they get up in the morning is because they have that pet. And that pet is such an integral part of their life. Mm-hmm. That without it, they wouldn't be the same person. It gives them a purpose. So that's why we really do. We try to keep them at anything. If we can offer the day boarding in the summer, if we can get them a pool, like, for example, if we have some low-income people in trailer parks and it's hot, we offer pools, kiddie pools, to fill up with water, anything to try to alleviate and make sure that they can keep that pet with them.
Incredible. So,
but for us, it's just, it's amazing.
Yeah, and I imagine that, you know, you find that when you start talking to people, the pets are the connection, but you start talking to people and you realize their stories, that it must be enlightening to hear, you know, how easy it actually is to end up in the situation that they're in.
Absolutely. In all honesty, I think many of us are a paycheck away from being on the street. Many of them are disabled or on Social Security, and they just don't make enough money. Like I said earlier, with the housing costs, especially in Las Vegas right now, housing is insanely expensive. Mm-hmm. It's also increasingly difficult to find a place if you have any sort of eviction mm-hmm. on your record. Mm-hmm. It creates issues. People can't help it if they're losing jobs. I mean, right. We have that going on right now in our world. Mm-hmm. And you hear the stories and you hear about people who they once had a house, but because of a medical illness or because of an accident, they've now lost everything, and all they have left is the pet.
Yeah. And it really speaks to that bond. The fact that
it does.
Yeah, that they'll keep that animal with them beyond all. Everything in them is just to keep that animal with them, which I can certainly understand the drive to do that at all costs. Mm-hmm. Yes. And you guys.
Yeah, like I said, like in many. Sorry. In many cases, they'll feed that pet before they will eat because that is so important to them. They're like, oh, I can get something tomorrow. This pet, my baby has to eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it is. It's very enlightening, and it's eye-opening, really. Right. But within the United States and in the city, there is that disparity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. My background is in social work, so I definitely hear
okay.
you. It's, yeah.
But on the flip side, it's also fabulous that when we do have an issue that arises and we put a plea out there on Facebook, right. the community just rallies together to help pet.
Oh, yeah. So tell us about that. When, you know, are there certain stories where you've seen that happen in particular that are just, that stand out?
We had a pet. I don't remember his name, but they were travelers, actually. And I remember he had become suddenly ill. They were in a bus traveling, and he had massive, I believe it was diarrhea or vomiting, I'm not sure, and he ended up very sick and had to go to the hospital, and we were like, we'll help, but we don't have that much money to spend. So we put a plea out to Facebook, and in all honesty, it was answered, and we were able to get that dog the care it needed. They actually contacted us back not too long ago and were like, hey, we say hi, and thank you so much, because he's fully recuperated and living the life on the road. So,
yeah. And
there's a lot of really good stories.
I'm sure there's tons of those stories. And I'm just curious, as an animal communicator, and a lot of people who might be on these channels watching have an interest in that, are there certain situations where you actually pick up on the feelings coming from the animals, or you just kind of sense what's going on?
Absolutely. We had just recently we had a volunteer who took a dog for from a homeless person to go get spayed. Mm-hmm. And the connection when they re-met, because the dog had to stay for a couple of days at the clinic to recuperate. Mm-hmm. And when that dog saw its owner, just the love and the bond there.
Yeah.
Or we've had homeless people because they have sometimes they do get arrested mm-hmm. or have something occur. They have to go to the hospital and their pet gets put in the animal foundation. Mm-hmm. And we've had several cases where we help them to get that pet back. In many cases, we'll pay the fee if there is a fee. Mm-hmm. And again, like I remember I went with someone to pick up their pet, Buddy. And he and the pet, like the pet, as soon as he saw the owner, that pet was just like scrambling all over him and just elated. Yeah. So you see that connection between that pet and how that pet really loves that person.
Right, right. And they don't necessarily, they're not thinking about that they're not in a house or whatever. They're connected to the person, and that's what matters most. It's real example to us of how we can be more focused on relationships.
And some of the homeless pets I've met are some of the best behaved pets too, because they deal with all sorts of different circumstances and situations.
Yeah, and I think we've heard Cesar Millan talks about the fact that dogs that walk with people who are homeless are some of the best behaved, the most bonded, because that's just a natural thing for dogs to just walk and just be with the other individuals in their packs. So that's just
normal
to them. I
just say part of the pack.
Yeah. And I'm sure that people are wondering, is there any other street dog locations, or is there any plans to open them up in any other cities? Or if people are interested, would they be able to contact you for information about how to do that?
We are just in Las Vegas. We do service the Henderson area. We've helped some people even in Pahrump, so if they can come down here, we can give them assistance. But we are here in Southern Nevada. Mm-hmm. Our founder lives here, runs it. There's no plan to expand to other places. As for volunteering, the best place to go is we have either on Facebook, you could message on our page, or on our actual website, there's actually a part where like volunteering and you fill out a little interest because we do all these other things I mentioned, but we also do distribution sites. Mm-hmm. So every single weekend of the month, we have some sort of distribution site throughout the city. And it's based on need. And we go, it usually takes about 3 or 4 cars full of dog food and cat food and collars and leashes. And the people know we're coming because it's the same trailer parks or the same area that we help. Okay. Like today, we just had one at Cambridge Community Center. And they bring their pet, and we provide them the assistance that they need for that month. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, we do direct delivery too. So if somebody is disabled and they can't get to those, we will do where people actually take the items to their home.
Okay. That's excellent.
So they could
No, go ahead.
they could go and ask to volunteer and kind of tell us what they'd like to do, whether it's distributions or at-home delivery. Or even we often need people to drive pets to spay and neuter appointments because in some cases people can't get them there. And sometimes the buses will allow them, but sometimes not if they're not a service pet.
Okay. All right. This makes me want to move.
If they fit in a crate.
I'm sorry?
I was like, if they're in a crate, they're okay on the bus. Okay. But if it's a bigger dog, it depends.
Okay.
Yep. So sometimes we need help with transporting.
Got it. Okay. This makes me want to move to Nevada. I haven't really
come on down.
Thought about that before, but but now I do, just to do this. Incredible.
Come on down.
Yeah. So, and I feel terrible because I wanted to get your website up on the screen. I had a little bit of some technical difficulties, so I wasn't able to get that up on the screen. But if you could just say it for people. So they know where
it's just street dogs with a Z, lv.org.
Okay. Wonderful. So, and you know, I don't know if there's any way to know if people are donating to you. Is there any who are a result of this show? But, you know, I wanted to put out there if there is a way to do that, I'd like to do an offer of doing 15-minute mini sessions, animal communication distance mini sessions for anybody who donates. So it's a 15-minute call. If there's a way to track it, if there's like a memo that they can put when they donate.
I was going to say, that's not my area of expertise, okay. But I'm not going to lie. I know that if they put a note, like because on our website, yeah. If you donate, it goes through PayPal. So if they put like a note,
yep, you should
that they
to
listen
that.
To your show.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then in Facebook, same thing. If they put, I think you can put like a note section, even if you donate on Facebook to like the birthday fundraisers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or they could put it in as a comment, and then we can work on getting that information back.
Yeah.
And if we don't, you can always remind us. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Sometimes things get, in Facebook, get a little hectic.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. Well, this has been so much fun. Is there anything else that you think that people might want to know about, hear about, that we haven't brought up or talked about?
Just that we really do strive to keep that pet with their owner. And we will, if we can do it, we will. Like, we've helped people. There was a story a couple of years ago. I wasn't part of it because I was new to the team at the time. But there was a gentleman who his spouse had passed away, and it affected his living situation. We helped him. He got into a trailer. Like, we will try. If we've helped people with finding furniture, long-time clients.
Yeah.
Like, if we can get it, we will get it to the client. Like, we've had people that we had a gentleman who was living in like a storage trailer.
Oh.
And we got them an air conditioning unit so that they could keep pets cool. And so if we can do, we've delivered batteries to people whose cars are dead that we've known the client. So it's somebody we've known for a period of time. And, if we can do it, or if we can get help from the city to do it, the community, we will.
Yeah.
We strive to do whatever we can.
Wow, that's amazing. You guys are incredible, and I'm really honored to have you on tonight. And, people, please go check out their website. Donate if you can. Just spread the word if you can't donate right now.
I was going to say share. That's the biggest thing, so that people know that we are out here.
Right.
And I'm so blessed to have found that organization. It really has changed my life and perspective.
Yeah, this is incredible. And thanks to Cheryl Norrie for setting all this up and taking it where it's gone. It's incredible. It's inspiring. But one
and
bag
every
of food.
Single person. Yeah. Exactly. It all started with the bag.
Yeah.
And every single person, including her, works full-time jobs.
Right. That was something we didn't talk too much about. You yourself have a full-time job. I don't want to say necessarily what that is if you don't want to, but yeah.
Yeah. But it's the fact that all of us do. We maintain a full-time job. And honestly, depending on the week, you can dedicate anywhere from 10 to sometimes 15 hours. And in Cheryl's case, constantly, because, she's trying to ensure that we have the funding and contacting people and getting new distribution sites up. I mean, it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
What she does.
Right. So Street Dogs needs your support. So sharing is probably one of the best ways, is to share the information, share this video, share information on their site with other people, and their Facebook page. Go to their Facebook page and follow it, share.
Lots of great stories on that Facebook page too.
Wonderful. Good. All right. Well, thank you.
We also have Instagram, too. I shouldn't say that. Sorry. I always forget about Instagram. But we also have Instagram. And the person who does our Instagram does an amazing job. So if you wanted to donate somehow through there, you can IM us, and she'll get in contact with you.
Okay. Wonderful. And Lisa says, amazing organization. I wish we had something like this in New Jersey. So do I, Lisa.
There you go. You can start
there
it.
There we go.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it, and keep in touch. And if there's any questions, if you're watching this afterward, you can post them, and I'll keep in touch, and we'll get back to you if you have any questions. We'll reply to those.
And thank you so much for having us on as well.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you for being here tonight. And if you want any more information about me, you can always go to my website. That's www.intuitivetouchanimalcare.com. And have a good night.